This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Let me take a minute now to introduce you to a guy by the name of Jeff Green. He's a real estate investor, Mr. Green is. He is a billionaire. And he said the following to Bloomberg News today that, and this is a quote, that America's lifestyle expectations are far too high and need to be adjusted so we have less things and a smaller, better existence, end of quote. Two things you got to know about that line. One, he said it at the World Economic Forum, the annual gathering of the ultra-rich and powerful in Davos, Switzerland, that's going on this week. Number two, he brought with him to Davos, in a private jet, his wife, his children, and two nannies. Odds are he wasn't trying, but Mr. Green has provided a shining example of the archetypical Davos man that one hears of about this time of year. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn has the biography.
The origins of Davos Man are murky. The first reference I could find was an editorial in The Economist from 1997, defending him as a paragon of global capitalism, bringing peace across boundaries of country and culture. Matthew Bishop was an editor at The Economist at the time, and I asked him to read from the final paragraph.
Some people find Davos Man hard to take. There's something uncultured about all the money grubbing and managerialism. But it's part of the beauty of Davos Man that, by and large, he does not give a fig for culture.
Because he cares about money, not culture or country, the editorial argued that Davos Man, the global capitalist elite, could bring the people of the world together. In the 18 years since,
it hasn't done that, and it has also exacerbated a sense of global inequality.
Shayla Benhabib, professor of philosophy and political science at Yale, says the forces that Davos Man represents have connected us through the internet and financial markets, but they've also pulled us apart.
I think this is one of the puzzles of our time.
One piece of the puzzle may be that Davos Man himself hasn't really evolved. I spoke to Felix Salmon, senior editor at Fusion at Davos, where he was surrounded by men in suits, some of whom paid tens of thousands of dollars for tickets. Salmon has been going to Davos for 7 or 8 years and says the crowd's basically the same.
That hasn't really changed since then. Rich people don't change that much, I don't think.
And as long as Davos Man is rich, he'll continue to be unpopular with those who can't afford a private jet to a Swiss ski resort. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.